That's right, get my voice going.
Get my voice going. Right in there someplace. Let's split the difference, fall off the fence on one side or the other. I want to share something with you before I even start my message this morning. You know, there's a lot of things happening in the world that we don't know about. I mean, there's always something happening. And we find out about it, and we find out and get to thinking about it and think, reckon that really is true? Reckon that really happened? Now, what makes us think we're any different than the people in Jesus' day? When somebody comes in and says, you know, I saw a man who was crippled the other day get up and walk because Jesus was talking to him. They didn't see it. They're just going by what somebody said. So they go out and they say, I wonder if that really happened. Well, I'm going to share three things with you. And I believe they're true. I was watching something on popped up on the internet. Somebody put it on there. It was in some news broadcast, and then it was on YouTube. It was a video from a camera at an intersection of a street or two streets in China. And I don't know if any of you may have seen it or not, but in this video, this fella, an older guy, I guess, I don't know, but anyway, he was coming this way on a bike, riding a bicycle. Coming this way was a guy in a delivery truck. And the guy in the delivery truck, or the guy on the bicycle one, ran the stoplight. And so the old fella, or the guy on the bike, was here, and the truck's coming down here like this. And in the video, all at once, you see a white streak, a blur, coming in from this side. And it comes right in to where the fella is with the bike, just as the truck gets ready to hit him. And then, in the next instance, the bike and this lit up figure are on the corner of the street. Completely out in safety, completely out from in front of the truck. And they were showing it over and over and over, and it's the kind of thing it would be certainly hard to stage. Just in a random intersection, and it just, I mean, it looked like something a superhero would do, you know, somebody like Flash. Get him out of the way. Or an angel. Now, superheroes and angels are not in the same category. You know why? Because superheroes are the creation of some human's mind. But angels are a creation of God. Well, a couple of days ago, I saw another testimony. And it was a lady and her two daughters that were teenagers were in a van, and they had been to a Bible study. And they were on their way home, and the girls were singing, and they showed a reenactment of it. They didn't show the actual thing, but they showed a reenactment. The girls are sitting in their seats in the back in the van, and they're singing, and mom's driving, and they're all just really in the presence of the Lord. And they came through this intersection, And there was a fellow coming down the hill on the other side in a big truck. Semi truck or something a little smaller. Big truck. And he's coming down this way. They're going to cross. He came down the intersection and they got there at the same time. And the lady and the girl said, "We felt the truck hit the van." We felt the truck hit the van, and that's all we felt. And the truck went right through the van. Right through it. Came out the other side. And the mom said the girls were pretty tore up. Nobody was hurt. There's not a scratch on the vehicle. No indication they'd been hit by anything. And there just happened to be a policeman sitting on the side of the road at the intersection in an unmarked car, you know, watching traffic flow. And when he saw the truck coming over the hill into the intersection, his reaction was, "Oh my, what a wreck." And he looked down to get his radio to call in help. And when he raised up, the truck was on the other side of the van going on down the road. Well, they interviewed him. They interviewed the policeman. And you know what? The first thing he said, "I don't want to talk about it." But he did say, he said, "I knew there was going to be a wreck. I could tell it. It was inevitable. And I knew it was going to be a bad one. And so I just went ahead and called in but make sure somebody got there in a hurry. And then when I looked up, it's over. Nothing happened." Well, I read that, and I looked at Laverne, and I said, "You know what that does to me?" She said, "What?" I said, "You remember that time when we were down in Evansville, Indiana, and we were going up the street, and we started into an intersection, and this guy coming the other way made a turn right into us, and we braced for the impact when he came through the intersection, and he just came right on through and went on, and we didn't feel a thing or see a thing?" And then we looked at each other at that, and I said to her, "He went right through my hood. His car went right through my hood." Now, that's what I saw. I saw that car as we're coming this way, and he's coming this way, and he turned, and I braced myself in the wheel for the impact. And people can say, "Well, you know, you weren't quite as close as you thought you was. He really went in front of the car, and he just looked like he went through your hood." Well, I could almost see the guy's pupils in his eyes. And you'll never convince me that something didn't happen there. Something unusual. Something supernatural. And see, we hear these kind of things, and then we... You know why we, because it seems too incredible to be true, because we think humanly. We think like humans. Now, I have been doing a Bible study on Wednesday nights about the battle of the mind, Satan's strategy. And you know, the most important thing in dealing with everything that you have to deal with is how you think about it. is what you think. And in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, God says this, and that's what I want to look at this morning. And I want to share some things with you. And you know, I don't share sermons just because it's Sunday morning and I need to tell y'all something. Or I need to preach something because y'all came here to hear it. I tell you things. I preach, I teach with the intent that you're going to learn something that I from what I'm saying, and you're going to have your life changed because of it. And so keep that in mind this morning. You know, everything from the Word of God that we hear and receive should be exciting to us. But there is exciting because you know it's the truth and because you say, man, this is really good. And then there's exciting because there's a lot of activity. The pastor or the preacher, he jumps around a lot or he shouts and he wants you to say amen and all that kind of thing. And, you know, then we get excited about some kind of message like that. But we need to get excited about the Word of God all the time. Well, now it's back, but I may need batteries anyway. It's blinking, yeah. I need them. Hallelujah. Yeah, that slides down in those things. Yeah, somewhere or other. Okay, you folks listen to this. We had a battery problem. That's why you had the dead spot. We're okay now. Jeremiah 29:11. Now, Laverne don't know what I was preaching today. So I just want you to know that whatever she did and whatever she said at the beginning this morning that has anything to do with my message today is purely the Holy Ghost. But it did. And this is what that verse says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, to briefly quote what I put in the bulletin this morning. Do you ever think much about what the Lord thinks about you? What is the Lord thinking about you? Now be careful how you answer that, because the way you answer it is going to determine how you think. What's the Lord think of you? Well, the Lord's coming to tell you what He thinks about you. Somebody told you that, said the Lord will be here in 10 minutes to tell you what He thinks about you. What would you do in those 10 minutes? You'd think about everything that He could possibly tell you that you had done wrong or didn't do right, or, you know, I mean, go through that and you'd say, what's the Lord going to tell me? Oh my goodness, I remember that time when He did, and I remember when He did, and I remember when He did, oh me. And I promise you that if you don't think right, your 10 minutes would be torment. And that's because you think about you the way a human thinks about you. You don't think about yourself the way God thinks about you. Some people get the idea that God looks at them and shakes his head all the time and says, boy, you didn't amount to much. And you, if you're a child of God and you understand what you are and who you are, and you've given yourself to the Lord, then God says, I'm pleased with you. Look what it says. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. He's talking to his children, talking to his people. Now, did you notice in the next phrase, it does not say thoughts of good and not of evil? It doesn't compare good and evil. It compares peace and evil. Evil must therefore be defined in general terms as something that will not bring you peace. That will not bring you peace. Now, if the Lord woke you up in the morning and said, hey, it's a new day, and I'm telling you this morning, you better do a whole lot better job than you did yesterday because you're just this far from me smacking you. What kind of pressure would that put on you for that day? All day long, you'd be thinking about yourself and how you could stay in the good graces of God. You'd be doing everything that you did that day just in hopes that it would make God smile at you and at least give you a halfway decent evaluation. Would it surprise you? Would it be exciting to you? Would it make any difference to you if you knew that God never thinks of you that way? He never gets up in the morning. Of course, he doesn't go to bed because he never sleeps. But you don't ever get up in the morning and God look at you and say, what kind of mess are you going to make today? Because you know, if you think God tells you that, I can promise you that you will do something that day. You will make a mess. Somewhere during that day, you will make a mess because I've been around sports long enough to know that you take a good basketball player and you put him on the floor and you are such a coach that you have basically put in his mind the first thing you do wrong, you coming out to the bench. And that doesn't put pressure on him to do things right. That puts pressure on him to try to keep from doing something wrong. And you know, there's a difference between doing something right and trying to keep from doing something wrong. Because when you're trying to keep from doing something wrong, you may basically do nothing. Rather than say, hey, I can score, I can rebound, I can play, I can dribble this ball without committing turnovers. I can do all of that. I can catch that pass without dropping it. I can carry this ball without fumbling it. But it's their state of mind and the pressure they're in. The thoughts that I think of you. Let's look at two scriptures. Two verses kind of going along with that. First one is Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, I don't know why I'm looking for it, I got it marked. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Many are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. How much does the Lord think of you? More than you can declare, more than you can speak of, and more than you can number. And I can promise you, it's thoughts of peace and not of evil. It's thoughts of peace and not of evil. And in Proverbs 16 and verse 3, commit your works to the Lord. Now, the literal word there in Hebrew is roll. Roll your works to the Lord. It's from a word that they get this picture. They carried a lot of things on camels. You know, they packed, they put the baggage on camels. When they got ready to unload those camels, the camels would kneel down. And you know, when a camel kneels, they kneel with all four legs. I mean, they just kind of go right flat down on the ground. And when they do that, they instinctively roll to one side or the other, depending on which way. And when they roll like that, it's very easy to get the luggage off of them, the produce, whatever they're carrying. It just kind of rolls off. And so that's the picture that he's painting here. Roll your works to the Lord. It says to the Lord, not on the Lord. Just says, roll your works to the Lord. In other words, get down on your knees, which is a symbol of humility. Yeah. And you're looking for grace, and you're bowing yourself before him, and then you're going to roll it to him, and he's going to take it off of you. Amen. Roll your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Roll your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Now, if the Lord thinks thoughts to us of peace and not of evil, what does he want you to think about yourself? Doesn't he say your thoughts will be established if you commit your works to the Lord? Doesn't say commit your works to the Lord and then worry about it. Commit your works to the Lord and then be fretful and unsure. Thoughts of peace. Now, you know, when you realize that Jesus said that when he was getting ready to leave his disciples, the greatest thing that I'm getting ready to leave you is peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. The only thing that will keep your heart from being afraid is being at peace. And God says, I think thoughts of peace to you. But here's the interesting thing. Your idea of peace and God's idea of peace, and I preached it a couple of Sundays ago, if not last Sunday. No, I didn't preach last Sunday. A couple of Sundays ago. That will keep him in perfect. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Okay? So, if we commit the works to the Lord, then our thoughts will be established. So, we commit our works to the Lord, then establish our thoughts on him, and then allow that to bring us peace. And the peace that it's talking about here is this. This is the definition of peace. Salvation. Salvation. Redemption. Well-being. Well-being. I'm thinking thoughts of salvation toward you. I'm thinking thoughts of well-being toward you. I'm not thinking thoughts about what you lack. I'm thinking thoughts to you about what I want to give you. What I want you to have. The way I see you. And the way I want you to see yourself. thoughts of salvation, thoughts of well-being, thoughts of health. Now, do we think of ourselves as healthy, or do we think of ourselves as sick trying to get healthy? Somebody made a statement one time that we should not look at ourselves as sick people trying to get healed, but we should look at ourselves as well people that the devil's trying to make sick. Health. Another part of the definition of peace is security. Security. God looks at you with security. We look at ourselves wondering, am I secure? Have I done enough? One of the biggest bones that the church gets choked on is that idea of our security and how we keep our security. And that we're going to lose our security. God loves you enough and He thinks so much of you that He's not going to let you lose anything. He's not going to let you lose anything. You never worked your way into the program, and you will not work your way out. You believed your way in, and if you can get out, you're going to have to believe your way out.
That is true.
Because you're never going to have to stand before God unknowingly and Him say, well, I mean, unless you didn't hear the truth. I mean, if you've accepted the truth and you've accepted the fact that Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and His death and His resurrection is the only thing that has saved you and made you right with God, and you've understood that and you've accepted that, then you're never going to have to hear God say, I'm sorry, I have to disqualify you because you did this or that. I mean, you know, the church has a tremendous way of making a blend of grace and works. We make a blend of it. And sometimes you never know whose blend you're going by. Sometimes it's 25% grace and 75% works. Sometimes it's 75% grace and 25% works. Some people's blend is 50-50. Or any varying degree thereof. And so you gotta work it out together, you know, and blend it just right and make sure your works and grace, you know, you don't get too far on one side or the other. And then that's where you come up with the 50-50 blend, which is kind of where I'd say the biggest part, majority of Christians are, the 50-50 blend. Now let me ask you this. What if you tried to run your car on a 50-50 blend of gas and water? If you stuck a match to a mixture that was 50% water and 50% gas, would it ignite? Probably thinking, well, I don't know, I never did that. Well, I think there'd be enough gas there to make something happen. But when you put 50% gas and 50% water in your car, hey, put you a little 75% gas, 25% water. How will your car run? What you want is 100% of one or the other. I don't want to drink gas. I don't want to drink a mixture of 75% water and 25% gas. I don't want to try to run my car on 25% water and 75% gas. I wanted, if I drink the water, I want it to be water. If I put the gas in the car, I want it to be gas. If I'm going by grace, I want it to be grace. And if I decide to go by the law, I better understand that it's all of the law, not just what I choose. Now, I'll tell you what, the mixture will run much better on 100% grace than it will on 100% works. It won't even start on 100% works. And if you got 100% grace running your engine, your thought process is going to be a lot different. And I found out that the way you look at God and the way you look at grace will determine how you look at the Word of God. It'll help you understand God. There are some people can't understand God because one minute He's a bully and the next minute He's your father. Yeah. And they don't understand that. But that's the way they see it. One minute He's hugging you, the next minute He's ready to knock your brains out. Now, I am the Lord, I change not. Well, now that seems like change to me. In whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. That sounds like a variableness or a shadow of turning to me. If one minute He's for you, the next minute He's against you. God is for you no matter how big of a mess you're making. God has thoughts to you to give you hope and a future. No matter how big a mess you think you're in now. But the messes that we get in come from our way of seeing things and our way of thinking. I've got to finish these. Security. Another part of definition of peace is provision. Provision. God promises to provide us what we need, but we don't think that way. We think thoughts of evil because we're evil. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to have that. Where am I going to get this? How is this going to work? Provision. And another thing that He thinks towards you that's involved with peace is power. You see yourself as powerless. You see yourself as an insect when you need to see yourself as a harrow of steel. I'm thinking, man, Laverne, God must have given you that. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Right. Is it true or not?
It's true.
Did He mean it?
Yes.
Will He bring it to pass? All you got to do is believe that He's as good as His word. That's what our problem is, that we don't think that. Well, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I want to ask you this, but there was a... You're going to ask Him that after what you did yesterday? You mean you really think He's going to do that for you after the way you treated so-and-so last week? You remember what you thought about them the other day when they said that to you? You think God's going to do this for you after you did that? It's a swap out. God's swapping His work for yours. In our minds. If I... Turned over a little further. Which I won't. I'd find a portion of scripture that is quoted in Hebrews 8. In Hebrews 8. Where I will give you a new covenant, saith the Lord. And nobody will have to teach his brother, know the Lord, for you'll all know me, from the greatest of you to the least, for my words will be written in your heart and in your mind. That's about 8 through 11 in Hebrews. 8, verse 8 through verse 11. And verse 12 says this, "And your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more." So when you start thinking about all of those things that you did that may disqualify you from getting a prayer answer, remember, God doesn't know what you're talking about. He's forgotten it. He's not going to remember it anymore. See, humans can't do that. We could, but we just can't. The only way we can do that is to come to a point where we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Lord, this is the way it needs to be. This is the way it needs to go. Best I can remember. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Two things that can mean. We have the mind of Christ, meaning we have his opinion on it. You know, people ask somebody for something, you know, what's your mind on this? We have the mind of Christ. We know what he thinks about everything. Or do we? The Lord didn't say you can have it. Paul didn't say you can have the mind of Christ. He said we have the mind of Christ. We have the Word of God. We have the mind of Christ. And when we become one with him, we literally then inside of us have the mind of Christ. And what we think should line up with what he thinks. It can, but it doesn't always do that. But it can. When we stop thinking with our human mind and start thinking with the mind of Christ. And the only way we can start thinking about the mind of with the mind of Christ is to get the Word of God into us so our minds are renewed. In Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And when it's talking about prove, it doesn't mean make sure of. It means prove, you know, in the example where Jesus was giving the story about the wedding feast, and he told about the guy, he said, I bought a pair of oxen, and I've got to go prove them. It wasn't that he had to go prove he had a pair of oxen. He had to go see what those oxen would do. So if our minds get renewed and we start thinking with the mind of Christ, that will prove the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Not just prove that it's real, but it will prove that we can walk in it. That we can live by it. I think good thoughts, or thoughts of peace rather, and not of evil. Evil thoughts. Real quickly, in about 10 seconds, think of all the evil that you could think of. Evil things that you could think about. Evil. Now, I've got an inclusive definition of evil thoughts. Evil thoughts are anything less than what God thinks. You see, when we think about evil, like murder and all this other stuff, but evil thoughts are anything less than what God thinks. And if you're thinking anything less about yourself than God thinks, you're thinking evil thoughts. And if you're thinking evil thoughts about yourself, you are going to walk in that kind of life. Think like the world, live like the world. Think like Christ, live like Christ. But we've got to make a choice to use His mind. Yours is still one to make the decision. But we've got to make a choice to use His mind, and the way we do that is knowing what this book says and by the Spirit of God. Somebody does something to you, what does your mind say to do? Get even with them. They say something bad about you, your mind says, think of something bad about them so you can counteract it. What's the Word of God say? Do unto others you'd have them do unto you. Not do unto others as they do unto you. What do you do if somebody does something to you? Forgive them. But I can't forgive them. You could if you're thinking right. If you were in your right mind. Now, I hope you catch that when you read that thing in the book. In being in your right mind, especially the one where it says that the demoniac in the tombs was sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Now, we are clothed in the robe of righteousness. Are we in our right mind? That means thinking like Jesus thinks. Thinking like the Christ. We have the mind of Christ. See, Jesus is His name. Christ is His title. But we have the mind of the anointed. Or we have a mind that is anointed. So if you use your anointed mind, you will think anointed thoughts. And not thoughts of evil. But how do we do that? By having our minds renewed by the Word of God. And the Word of God renews our minds because the Holy Spirit is the contractor. You know, when you remodel a house or renovate, or it's one of the words for that, they're being renewed. Renovate your house. What do you do when you renovate your house? You take out all the old stuff that you don't want in there, and you bring the new stuff and put it in its place. Now, who does that? Well, now, if you're a real good carpenter, you can. But if you're going to renovate your house and you do it yourself, you better be good at what you're doing. And I can promise you, if you don't do that for a living, and you get somebody that does do that for a living, it'll be a whole lot easier job, especially on you. You'll have to pay to get the material in, and you know you have to pay to get the material in to change your mind. And I don't mean by works. I mean you've got to read the Word of God. You've got to get the Word in your head, in your heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Because the Word of God gets into our heart, gets into our spirit, gets up into our mind. Our mind starts to be changed by the contractor, and the Holy Ghost is the contractor. He knows where the bathroom's supposed to be. He knows where the wall's supposed to stand. He knows how the doors are supposed to hang. He knows how to put it all together when you get the material in there. But it will cost you something. And that's the time it takes for you to study and read and get it in there. And when you do that, then our minds will start changing. And some of the stuff that we have been thinking that have been to us like walking around with our feet in wet concrete will clear up. And I'll tell you what, when you get to thinking about how God thinks about you, you can lay down at night and sleep knowing that God is thinking peace thoughts about you. And when you get up the next day, you're ready to go. You're not getting up the next day thinking, Will I please God today? Will I do everything right today? Well, I can probably tell you in the morning when you start out, no. You're not going to do everything right today. But God understands that. He loves you anyway. He's thinking peace about you anyway. You may not be doing it right, but the thoughts He has toward you is, if you start thinking right, you can do it right. You start thinking the way I think, you can do it the way I do it. But as long as you think you can't, you won't. As long as you don't see me in control, you won't be able to control it. But when you see me in control, you'll know it's in control. You'll have peace about it. You'll know everything's going to work because you'll have peace about it. Why will you have peace? Because now you're thinking like I think towards you. Now, if you think this sounds too good to be true this morning, you're thinking wrong. And I know it sounds awesome. But it is.
It is
awesome. We got an awesome God.
Amen.
And we sing a song for years, Amazing Grace. The way some people think about grace, it ain't amazing at all. It's just a band-aid that God puts over the wound, and I got to make sure everything else gets straightened up. It's a redo job. It's a refurbishing job. It's taking an old thing and making it new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That's the way God thinks about it. Why don't we think that way about it? Probably one of the reasons is because we never thought about it. Have you ever thought about how God thinks about you and come to the conclusions that I've told you how He thinks about you this morning? Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future. Some people, the way they think about God and the way they think about God thinking about them, they don't have any future to look forward to. It's uncertain. It's all get out. Give you a future. I don't want some of the things that I think about sometimes and the thoughts run through my mind, what's going to be in my future. I want the future He has for me. To give you a future and a hope. If you see yourself the way the world sees you, you'll lose hope. Because one of the things the world is teaching now, even in our educational system, is that man is just a blip on the radar screen of time. And, we're just an evolutionary creation and made such a mess out of us, we're running the planet. And we don't have any purpose for being here anyway in the world. And some people believe that the world would be better, the earth would be better off if we weren't here. They wouldn't have us to deal with. The birds, the animals, the insects, everything, they wouldn't have us to contend with. But if we believe what the Bible says, we believe that God put us here for a purpose, and we are His crowning creation, and that we are a being that communicates with Him, that He has contact with, that He didn't just wind us up like a robot and we do what we're programmed to do. Yeah, there are programs, but you choose the program that you have to, that you want to run in your computer. And when we choose that program and begin to believe in that program, then we see that program coming to pass. I've got four questions to ask you before we leave. Number one, do you believe it? Do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? Do you believe that the Word of God is the mind of Christ? Do you believe that God is God? That He's the I am that I am? Do you believe it? Second question, do you speak it? Are you always talking the negative? You know, it's not hard to say something negative. It's very easy. It'll slip out. But sometimes it's hard to say something positive. Do you believe it? Do you speak it? When it comes to having the mind of Christ, when it comes to having the peaceful thoughts, do you believe it? Do you speak it? Do you expect it? We say we believe it, but if you believe it, you're going to expect it. Well, it'll happen for somebody else. I know God could do it for them, but I just don't know whether I'm worthy or not. God says, what were you doing this morning when Pastor Jerry was talking? Did you not hear him say how I think about you? Thoughts of peace. Do you expect it? And the fourth one, do you live it? Do you believe it? Do you speak it? Do you expect it? Do you live it? And sometimes you can't wait till things change before you start living it. Well, like I said, what I minister, what I preach, I do it with the hopes that it'll help you this next week. Now, I believe that what I've told you this morning will be a big help to you if you get your mind wrapped around it. And it'll lift you up above where you think you are to where you really are. Let's stand. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation of your word. And I pray, Lord God, this morning that the thoughts of our minds and meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. And if we start thinking like you do, they will be. And I thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done for us, for all that you've done for your children, for all the needs that you've met, for all the blessings that you've given. And Lord God, we thank you for grace and favor that you've given us under the new covenant. And we bless you, Lord God, today. Go with your people and encourage them. May they be prompted to remember by the power of the Holy Spirit how you think of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I was teaching the kids.